This podcast has made me rich. The wealth of experience, the heartwarming inspiration, and treasure chests of wisdom Tanya and her guests pour out each episode have illuminated pathways to success and delight I didn't even know existed, Candace said. Keisha says, Tanya truly understood the assignment. I binge listened to the first episodes and can't wait for the next ones. Bonnie said, with this podcast, she has taken it one step further and given us a shot glass of transformative thinking. Thanks, friends, for your super kind words. I read every review and hold them close to my heart. Would you take a second to leave a review for this podcast in Apple Podcasts? I would love to share it in a future episode. Okay, let's get it going. Three, two, one. Welcome to the Campfire Circle. I'm your host, Tanya Bhattacharya, and I empower purpose-driven women in building influential personal brands that drive change and raise revenue. We all talk about getting a seat at the table, but why though? Who wants to sit in a stuffy boardroom anyway? Let's reimagine the ultimate space of leadership as a campfire circle, where we share stories that inspire movements, build brave communities to huddle together with for warmth, and where there is always room. Come sit with us. You know, now that I've done about a dozen podcast interviews, I've noticed that certain questions always come up when I get into conversation with my guests. And I go in not knowing exactly what I'm going to ask, but I've seen how my questions tend to follow a pattern. And I realized I'm actually asking them about the key points of how they express their thought leadership. And the reason I wanted to dedicate this solo episode to that is because if you ask yourself these questions, you will also be well on your way to having the building blocks of your own kind of thought leadership brand. So let me back up a second and ask, you know, what is thought leadership and why does it matter? And that's a good question because it could be kind of this fuzzy, intangible concept, especially when compared against other marketing or business growth strategies. I actually consider it more than a marketing strategy. I think of it more as a way of being. So to me, thought leadership, my definition, is where we consistently tap into our passion, experience, and credibility to build trust and community as we imagine and shape the future together for the better. And there's an action-oriented quality to this, right? Subject matter experts know a lot, but they're not necessarily like bringing a movement forward. Influencers are known by a lot of people, but they're not necessarily doing anything for good with that power or that limelight. So it's June 1st that I'm recording this. And honestly, the world has really sucked lately. The news is coming at us fast. Of course, we feel discouraged. And I think it's a good thing to take rest. I think it's a good thing to take a break. I think it's a good thing to rejuvenate and regroup. And to me, bite-sized thought leadership actions thwart hopelessness. It reminds us that there's always something we can do, even if it's sharing a human experience with one person in our community that inspires action. So in a couple days and 2 days, I have a VIP day client that I'm going to be working with. I'm super excited. But and she actually works in the space of like anti-violence, anti-racism. And I was like, hey, I get it. If you'd like to reschedule, I know things have been really hard. I'm sure you've been working overtime. Let me know if you want to push it back a few weeks. All good either way. And she immediately responded back. She said, thanks for your concern, but I'm good to go. The same reasons for postponing are the same reasons that the time is right. And I was like, damn, she's right. The same reasons we postpone are the same reasons the time is right. And the time is right because our stories matter. They break through inertia. They help us lean forward. They create a rumbling. They mobilize hope. They band us together and they remind us that we're actually deeply connected during this time of great divide. And more than anything, they remind us that we're human, especially if we've dissociated to survive in this world that keeps trying to dehumanize us. And I can't say this enough, right? That is why I reject the boardroom table as the ultimate leadership space and instead want to replace that concept with a campfire circle, because that is where we share our stories and come together and build trust and create community. And so that's why the first question I ask all of my guests is, what have you grown through to become the guide you are today? And I kind of got that from my friend Andy Long, previous guest, nonprofit founder, amazing human. It kind of sounds better than like, tell me your story, but same thing. What experiences have you had that cement your credibility and really like showcase your passion? And by the way, when I say credibility, I'm not talking about your degree or the fancy letters next to your name. I don't really care as much about that. And more than likely, this is kind of like a whole liberation when you realize this. More than likely, your clients or your dream audience members don't really care about where you went to school either or what credentials you have for the most part. Sometimes, you know, obviously, if you're a therapist, you need to be licensed and certified. But, you know, more than anything, I want to know about what lived experiences you've endured and dreamed through and worked your way out of, because you now have a roadmap to share with other people. And that, to me, is what positions you as that guide and showcases your expertise. And the interesting thing, as you start sharing your brand story, your origin story, whatever you want to call it, is that it's about you, but it's so much bigger than you. It contains the pieces that actually motivate other people to join you on behalf of your shared vision. So that's always my first question, right? What is your story? What have you grown through to become the guide you are today? And if you haven't spent like some intentional time, quiet time, you know, really thinking about that, you know, take some time to let that rise up for you. And as you do that, because I have spent my proverbial 10,000 hours helping women craft their origin story, I can probably guess some of the gremlins that are going to be running into the room as you pause long enough to craft that story. One of the first ones that people say is like, well, my story is boring. Like, Tanya can ask people about their story because she invites cool people on her podcast, but I'm just little old me. Who cares about my story? I mean, that comes up almost every time. It kind of always surprises me, even though I've heard this objection so many times. There is someone in your audience right now who is looking for their community, who is looking to feel something greater than themselves, that tugs on their own inklings and their passions and their deeper why, even if it's one person, right? Think of that ripple effect. You know, that person is going to love your story and resonate with it and feel an affinity for you and feel known and seen and reflected back in your story and start to get excited about what you two can create together. And, you know, by the way, I have, you know, like I said, co-written hundreds, maybe thousands of brand stories, and I have never heard a boring story, not even once. Like, they might have thought it was boring, but it just takes a little bit of asking the right question to realize how much you've overcome, you know, looking at that defining moment, you know, thinking about how you felt during certain parts of it and how you overcame that. I mean, yeah, anyway. So the other angle of that, the other side of that coin is my story is too much. People will think I'm weird or they're going to feel sorry for me. They're going to like, my story is too much. And this is an interesting piece. And I understand having to cut out parts of myself and code switch to fit in. And assimilation, you know, for many of us has been the name of the game. And I think, you know, I'm still working on learning that. So it can be really difficult to break that habit and start to show up authentically. And it maybe wasn't safe at certain times to do that, like so let's say in your corporate job. But maybe now you make the rules and maybe now you have a bigger part in influencing the cultures that you're a part of. And what I can say is as you practice getting 1% more uncomfortable, more stretching yourself, you know, getting more vulnerable with your story, you know, in safe and brave spaces where you feel okay doing that, really magical things will start to happen. Another thing that I hear all the time is like, this work is about the people I serve. This work is about my mission. Like, why am I going to talk about myself? Like, I don't belong in the limelight. And that is such a nonprofit leader thing to say, by the way. And what I want to say to that is, again, someone out there needs what you have to offer and they can't see you right now. Maybe it's that person that you serve. Like, maybe you work in the mental health space and you provide a really unique service to folks who need you, but you're lost in the noise and they can't find you, right? Who is the person that needs to hear your story? Because it will motivate them towards taking that helpful action. So take a moment, think about that person, really visualize them in your mind, and know that you are in part sharing your story for them to experience the same transformation that you did. Because so often we are serving the person that we once were, or the family of the person that we belong to, right? So that's why your story is important, you know? So shine and remember that when you step into the limelight, that reflects light back onto your mission, the reason that you do what you do, right? So that's the first thing I ask about my guests is their story. And of course, then we start to chat about whatever comes up, because that's the other thing about stories. They make people say, tell me more. You know, they make people lean in and they spark that relationship in a new way. But another thing that I've started to ask over the last couple of episodes is, you know, is there a framework that you use to bring your people through a transformation? And that's a specifically like a thought leadership thing or strategy or just like a thing. And Denise Brousseau explained this so beautifully in her podcast episode with me, which makes sense because she is the thought leader on thought leadership. It's very meta, but she essentially talks about thought leadership as a relay race. You know, I remember asking her, how do we not burn out as we work on these issues, these huge generational curses, right? Like poverty, like homelessness, like racism. And oftentimes many of these issues intersect to create this like hybrid monster that we're trying to solve and work on. And the truth is they may not be resolved in our lifetime. But if we think of ourselves as runners in a relay race, when we create a framework or package up our expertise or codify our learnings and provide that instruction and inspiration to other people, whether that's now, you know, whether they're our clients, or whether that we're doing that for the next generation, right? That's all action-oriented thought leadership. That is a way to create a shortcut. So consider, right? Do you have a unique way of working with people or bringing them through a transformation that gives them that shortcut to a solution so they don't have to figure it out themselves? So that's something to noodle on. And I would venture to say that you probably do have one. It's kind of probably sitting right underneath your note, like your nose. It's your framework. It's how you work with people. And lifting that up and like packaging that as your expertise and maybe trademarking it, maybe creating like a diagram or an image in Canva, right? To really showcase how that can work for people can really, really support positioning you as that guide, as that thought leader, and bringing people towards their solution, right?
Hey, if anything you're hearing today inspires you to get more visible as a go-to trusted voice for your audience and drive change towards your deeper mission, I've got something for you. LinkedIn is my favorite place to share my stories and build relationships with my co-conspirators and brand new friends. So I put together a free resource with 14 prompts to create your next post on LinkedIn. Take all the guesswork out of what to say and just start building your impact and influence. Be sure to tag me in your post so I can come by, cheer you on, and amplify your message. You can find those free prompts in the show notes. Okay, back to the episode.
Another thing that I always ask people is vision. What is their big dreamy vision? And I actually did a whole solo episode about the power of vision. So I won't go too deeply into that. I'll like maybe link to that in the show notes or something. But, you know, I always end my podcast episodes, my interviews at least, asking them, what is your big dreamy vision for the future? And so even though that's the last question that I ask people, I think that this is actually where you need to start. The vision piece is the piece around reimagining how we're trying to change the world for the better. And again, everything else falls into place from there. But if we don't know how we're trying to change the world and we can't paint that picture for ourselves, let alone other people, you don't know where you're going, right? There's a parable that I love to share about the three stone cutters that I think really demonstrates the power of vision. And so if you haven't heard this parable, you know, listen in. So imagine that there's three stone cutters sitting in front of a huge block of granite. They each have a hammer and a chisel, and they're working away at the stone in front of them. And it appears at first when you see them that all three of them are doing the same thing. They're just cutting into the slab, cutting away at the stone, working hard. But you ask the first stone cutter what they're doing. And they say, oh, I'm carving stone. So they're all about the task, right? They're task oriented. All right. So then you ask the second stone cutter what they're doing. And they say, well, I'm carving stone to build a wall. So that's kind of cool. They have a mission they're working on. They have some kind of bigger purpose they're working towards. So that's cool. But then you ask the third one, and they say, well, I'm carving stone that will build a cathedral where my community will gather for worship. So that's vision, right? That's vision orientation. That's, you know, casting a picture of what is possible through these tasks, through this work, so that people are excited about it. People can see what the fruits of their labor are going to help create. And so the activity is the same, right? They're all cutting stone. And so many of us as social impact leaders, as entrepreneurs, as change makers, we're doing actually pretty similar things. Maybe we're raising money. Maybe we're building relationships or recruiting board members or helping our clients, you know, achieve a transformation. But the difference with that third stone cutter is that they're relating their day-to-day, their task, back to a bigger vision or North Star. They can see and embody and hold a larger narrative that actually inspires everyone they come across. Because think about it, like, which stone cutter would you want to be in relationship with? And that's what thought leadership does, right? It inspires relationships. It inspires trust. It inspires community. And so finally, most of my other questions that I ask on my podcast interviews are always different. It's not like the same question each time, but it has to do with community. How do you work with your community? How do you build community? And this whole thing about community, you know, sometimes people ask me about why I started a podcast, and I knew I wanted to have a podcast even before I launched my business. Like, it's why I picked the website template I did. It's, you know, my husband bought me a podcast mic to celebrate the birth of my business. But the idea of the podcast, and honestly still is, like, not 100% super, super duper clear. It's kind of more of a vibe to me. That's how I operate, you know, dreamy Pisces over here. But at the end of the day, like, what it really is about and what my vision is about is, like, breaking down these self-limiting beliefs that we've been conditioned into by this, like, dominant, oppressive culture that doesn't want our stories and voices to be heard. Because when we do get visible, we're breaking the status quo, right? That's the end result of thought leadership. It's changing the culture. It's reimagining the world. And so brave thought leadership takes a certain level of risk. And of course, it brings out fear, fear of vulnerability, sometimes real fear of harm, depending on the issue that we are taking a stand for. But what I know for sure is that for oppression to exist, the oppressed must internalize that impression by way of feeling bad about themselves to the point they no longer trust their own voice and their own truth. And I think that is where these, like, fear pieces come up when we talk about thought leadership. And I think the only way, I was going to say the best way, but really I think the only way to overcome those feelings of separation, of isolation, of feeling like we're the only, like we don't belong, that we're fraudulent, is to build brave community. And I'm starting to really experiment this with this now in a real way. I just built a follow-up community and circle for my LinkedIn VIP Day clients. And it's really an experiment. Like, I'm not pretending to know how to actually build a community. I'm experimenting. I'm playing with it. You know, I'm figuring out, how do we build trust in this little digital pocket of people? How do we support each other? How do we hold each other accountable? How do we practice brave thought leadership together? How do we stay consistent and spark change when shit gets really hard, when life is hard? How do we ebb and flow through these waves of vulnerability, of being like, yes, I'm going to share my story. No, I'm not going to. No, I don't want to anymore. Like, how do I get emotionally naked on LinkedIn? Which, that's a fun phrase. I don't know. It's turning into what it's turning into, which is the secret society of women who I think have got each other's back. It's fun. It's small. And that's intentional, because I think relationships move at the speed of trust. And we're playing. We're playing with it. I don't know what will happen with it. But I think you could try building up a community too, if you haven't already. And what that might look like is texting two or three business besties or fellow nonprofit EDs, or, you know, people who honestly, people who you would think of maybe as your competitors, like competitors in quotes, because I don't believe in that word, people who are co-conspirators, people who have common visions and are working with a similar community as you, and ask them to be in community, like create a small little secret society, the Brave Thought Leadership Society, right? Hype each other up around getting visible. When somebody gets brave and does a live or does a podcast interview or posts on LinkedIn, hype each other up. Right? Comment on each other's LinkedIn posts. Get together and brainstorm what you're going to post about that week. Like, find people to hold you as you do this vulnerable work, because it's not meant to do alone. And more I do this, I realize how key that is. And starting small is not just okay, it's actually best. So to kind of summarize, really this brain dump has been about some of the key pieces of thought leadership. I think some of the building blocks of building that thought leadership brand so that you can apply it to your own self as you get visible as that go-to trusted voice, that action-oriented change maker that you are. So first, what have you grown through to become the guide you are today? So what's your story? Second, what is your unique framework or roadmap that you bring people through? Third, you know, and there's no real order to this, but what is your big dreamy vision for the future? Well, I guess there is an order. I think that should come first. And then really, like, how are you building community? And I invite you to noodle on those questions. And if you're up for it, reach out to me. Let me know what's emerged. I'm all about it. This really is, even though it feels like a one-way conversation, I would love for this to be a two-way conversation. I'm all about it. Reach out to me. I am here to cheer you on. You got this.
What'd you think? Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, or even better, reach out and let me know through lumosmarketing.co. Yes, that's Lumos, as in the illumination spell from Harry Potter. Because when you shine, magical things happen. You can get social with me on LinkedIn, and of course, check out the show notes to stay in touch with our guests. Let's talk soon.